two.
And here's Modi. Please don't be cheap. When taking care of your parents, buy them the world's lightest wheelchair. They spent your whole childhood taking care of you. Now it's your turn to take care of them. The feather chair weighs only 13 pounds and is super light to lift in and out of a car. If you buy them a cheap wheelchair, you will break your back lifting the wheelchair into the car, and who needs that? Go to wheelchair.com and buy the feather chair, the world's lightest wheelchair. So this is a real thing, and we've had the guest. We had the guy who invented the feather chair on the podcast, and he's amazing. And it's a real thing. And I'm not sure that I like the ad right away, assuming that everybody's parents are in wheelchairs. But if your parents are in a wheelchair, and anybody you know has a wheelchair, and you want to help them out, getting them the lightest wheelchair, which is a mitzvah, it's a good deed to do that. Wheelchair.com and look at Feather Chair. They are our sponsor for a few episodes, yeah. And we love them.
Is that in the Talmud, that it's a mitzvah to get a light wheelchair?
Yes, and even more of a chair, get it for somebody without telling them that you got it for them. If you see a neighbor of yours with a horrible wheelchair, order them this wheelchair without telling them that it came from you. That's the uber mitzvah.
Nice.
No pun intended.
Okay.
Let's roll right into our next segment.
All right. So now we have our sponsor. Thank you very much, wheelchair.com.
It's wheelchair.com, right?
Wheelchair, not wheelchairs.com.
That was something we, okay.
Okay. This episode's going to air the Wednesday before Passover.
We could do that. I would just have to bump the other one.
Oh, there's one before. Okay.
The one we did yesterday, but there's nothing super pertinent.
Okay.
Let's do Zach.
Hold on. We never do it. Usually I run right away and go, our guest today is Zach. But I was trying to be all cool and black. And we have in the studio today Zach. Zach Zimmerman. Does that sound like it sounds like a law firm?
Zimmerman. I'm here to sue you.
Hi, Zach. What's up?
Hi, Modi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my God. I was at the cellar last night and I was completely sober and looking at the televisions. At this comedy cellar, there's televisions of every room. So you see at the bar, the room. And was it me or did I see you do a card trick?
I may or may not have done a card trick. I did.
I was like, no.
I have I'm not a magician, but I have a character who is a Christian magician that I play sometimes.
Does that mean a Christian magician?
He uses close-up miracles to educate people about his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
I'm an atheist, but I play this character, and so I folded him into my hour.
I tell
a story. I auditioned for America's Got Talent as him, and they put me with...
Wow.
To spoil it, they accidentally put me with a bunch of kids auditioning, and they were all saying Christian songs, and then I did this like Christian magic mocking Christianity act.
Did they know it's like a joke, or did they think
they thought I was pure real, because the satire is very like subtle, and so in that setting everyone was like, oh, okay, Christian magic.
Christian magic,
amazing.
Yeah, so you saw a trick, and it's fun to do.
What's his name?
Luke Babylon, Christian magician.
Please welcome to the stage.
Thank you.
Luke Babylon.
Wait, that's like really amazing.
There should be a Jewish magician type of like, he goes, in your taxes, you can now just pay only 10%, not 38%, by just going pow.
I forgot to take this out of my pants. I do have a deck of cards.
We happen to have the cards with us.
Card trick right here.
Famously a podcast, great for magic tricks. Everyone can see what has happened.
Wow, let me see that.
I
was going to throw it in the garbage behind you. There's a garbage behind you. You were going to throw them. I hate
you.
Card
hate
why?
I just don't. Do you
know.
Hate joy?
I hate.
Do you hate fun?
Joy.
You hate surprise.
It's so
who
good.
Hurt you? Did a magician attack you as a child? Or
no,
something?
I talked about it in the podcast before. I just hate following magicians, and I hate. It's just like they're getting these easy laughs and easy you gotta come on and like, hey, did you hear about the one and it's just horrible.
I feel that way about, no offense, drag queens. It's very hard to follow a drag queen because they're like beautiful and dolled up.
When are you following drag queens?
There's some like drag comedy hybrid shows that have existed before. Or once I opened for a drag queen, and that's just like the lowest expectation. They're like expecting, you know, nothing. Glam and then like schlubby
me
comes
I will
up.
Tell you, I once followed a drag queen. I once followed Lady Bunny at Caroline's.
Oh, wow.
And she, did I tell this story ever on the podcast?
No.
First of all, she killed me in the green room. We were in the green room. Have you ever seen Lady Bunny?
Yes.
She's
yes.
top heavy, these little legs, and it's all big top heavy, and we're sitting there, and we're kind of like comfortable, uncomfortable. She's like, you know, we're there. We're raising money for AIDS or whatever it was, and
we really need to support AIDS right now,
right? And so, I remember the busboy came in to take the garbage out, and she looks at him and goes, "Are you available later? Because I see you're really good with trash." And so she killed me right away with that. And then she did this song before I went on. And I was laughing so hard I couldn't pull it together before I hit stage. She had this song about her pussy, her cat, her, oh, my pussy. And she sang it over. Oh, my pussy. Oh, my pussy. And I had to follow that. And I couldn't pull myself together.
Oh, yeah.
And I was cracking up. And then I'm starting to tell jokes. And you can see the audience like, could you please bring Lady Bunny back? 100%. No one wants to hear your Jewish jokes right now. So, yeah, you're right. It is hard to follow drag queen.
I had I had opened for one once, so that's just like get him out of the way. It was Alyssa Edwards. Everyone was there for her.
I know,
Caroline's.
That's
and
insane.
They're like, oh, let's get ready. Here comes Alyssa, or before Alyssa Edwards, here's Zach, and everybody's like, what's going on?
Wait a minute, just tell me, which one's Alyssa Edwards? I do know. She always does that thing with her mouth.
Back rolls.
Tongue pop.
She's like from Texas.
Yes.
Back rolls.
Back rolls.
You would know exactly.
What girl, season? Look how orange you look.
Back rolls.
Oh, that's, yeah.
And then she's like, back again. And I don't get cute, I get drop dead gorgeous.
That's right.
Did you watch the current season? Jasmine Kennedy, I guess, is like descendant,
yes,
it seems, of her. A new younger.
They threw
version.
Her off. They threw Jasmine Kennedy off.
It's a few weeks ago.
And they her little heart out.
She had to lip sync for her life against everybody.
No one
eight
knows
times.
What we're talking about.
We are talking about RuPaul's Drag Race, which is something that I watch religiously. It literally, it is a Xanax on television. It numbs your mind.
Yes,
it puts you in a good mood.
It's a streaming lobotomy,
and you get life lessons. You get makeup tips. You get impressed. And every time I think, you know, oh my God, I have to fly to Florida to do a show and I have to pack. And here's how I pack. Before a show, I open my bag. I put whatever I'm wearing for the show, the suit, the shoes, the belt, the tie, whatever the outfit is for the show, depending on whatever the show is. And then I leave it. And now I'm packed for the show. So that the reason I'm going is all set. And then I'll throw in a gym workout outfit, the toothpaste, the Ambien, all that stuff, and then go. But drag queens have to fly with, I think, trunks dreck, of garbage,
yes,
that smells like death. I mean,
like similar to magicians.
I mean,
they have a lot of
we
materials.
We once saw a drag queen at the airport, and when the dog came to sniff it, he literally almost threw up.
They're caked with sweat and like years
so
and years,
gross.
Like a gym locker room carpet floor.
So gross. I pull up with my dry cleaner full. I have a way of folding my suits before I go in the cleaning bag. It smells like the dry cleaner. It's so crisp and clean before I get on. These drag queens go on. You can smell the last show from them. But they're the best.
I do love drag. It is the sound effects on Drag Race tell you how to feel every step of the way. There's like no requirement of any sort of knowledge or brain. I only got into it in the pandemic.
Ba, ba, ba,
yeah, exactly.
Right.
Oh, yeah, something bad happened.
Right, when they want to make her line bomb.
Oh yes,
they just like.
They just had a roast episode, and it is kind of mean. The edit, they will just take the laughs out for certain people, and I'm like, these jokes are funny. What are you doing to these girls?
We are. We always are so impressed. First of all, we knew that, talking about this current season of Drag Queen, of Drag Race. What's her name that shouldn't have stayed. Delalia.
Deja.
Deja.
Deja?
And then the other two had to.
Or Diabetti.
No.
Diabetes is amazing.
Anyway, I don't know. I think most of my audience has no idea what the hell I'm talking about.
But they should.
VH1.com. After you go to wheelchair.com, go to VH1.com. Sign up for a free account.
This is now a World of Wonder advertisement.
Wait a minute. I don't know what... So let's speak about that for a minute. We have every single thing on our television from HBO, HBO Plus, HBO Extra Large, Medium, Small. We have Paramount, Peacock, World of Wow, World of Now, World of How. Everything. And every time a new Drag Race comes on, we can never find it and we have to buy it.
Yes.
On iTunes. We have to purchase again on iTunes. We buy it. We have every single streaming thing in the world. And for some reason, RuPaul has it in a way that you have to buy it somewhere else. RuPaul is a genius on every level. My respect to
She's getting probably all those $11 you pay or $10
right
every
into
night.
Her pocket.
Yes.
As well she should.
As she should. And I thank her very much for all
Me
she
too.
Does.
Okay. RuPaul is, we've discussed this before. Yeah. I mean, he's really, I think, one of the heroic figures of our lifetime.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's been wild to watch the length of his career, mm-hmm. and he's like the man. He's the establishment.
Yeah,
like,
it's incredible.
Went from like an alt drag queen in Atlanta to but like this queer icon.
Yeah, he also provided this stream of revenue for this previously completely disenfranchised community. Where now, like all these queens are like able to like travel around the world and
make a living,
like, real money, and it's incredible. It really is,
and everybody became an expert in drag queens, and I hate her makeup. She shouldn't have worn that. I can't believe she did this.
Oh, the fandom can be kind of toxic. Sometimes.
Yeah,
internet comments and trolls.
And you expect to see the top of the line drag show every time you go see a drag show. A friend of ours bought an apartment in Manhattan, and the day he closed. It was a massive, massive apartment with a big, big deck. And the day he closed, like he got the keys at 5. At 10 o'clock, he threw a party. 10 o'clock.
Fun.
It was a raging party in the middle of the pandemic. And he hired he hired a drag queen to perform. And we've been watching Drag Race. We've been watching the top of the line. And if you have one mistake in your outfit, you're thrown away. And this drag queen came on and couldn't get anything together. Took her shirt off and the hair got caught.
No.
And the shoe fell off. And the that and the da-da-da. And I'm not going to mention the name, but it was a
It was Leo.
It was Leo. Leo did a drag show on the roof. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, what's up? So you let the audience know who you are. You're from where?
I grew up in Roanoke, Virginia, and then spent some time in Chicago, but I live in New York now. It'll be 5 years next week.
Wow. And how's growing up Jewish in Virginia?
I'm not Jewish.
You're not Zimmerman.
I know.
That's what I was just going to say right before you asked that.
Should I not be on the podcast?
Yeah, you have to
leave.
Sorry.
Security.
Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, the time has come for you to lip sync for your life.
Well, I can lip sync.
Shantae, you stay.
I know the Old Testament very well.
You bring Goyim on my podcast named Zimmerman. I need to know right away, which means I did no research on you before you came on.
But Judy Gold was like, really? You're not Jewish? And I was like, no.
And you sound very Jewish.
Oh, wait, that's interesting. That's just gay, I think. Maybe. I went back Ancestry.com and it goes back. They're Swiss German and they came over in like the 1600s or 1700s. Whoa. So,
but not Jewish.
Maybe there's Swiss some. Jewish. I don't know.
How is that possible? Where does Zimmerman
Why would you
come
think?
From?
Zimmerman's German, I guess. Yeah. Means like room man, like a carpenter.
Oh, I thought it's Zimmerman, like a man, like a room. Yeah, room.
Room, right?
Oh, yeah, room.
I think Zimmer. Carpenter. Or like a roommate.
Zimmerman.
Is there, yeah.
So everybody always thinks you're Jewish.
I think so. And my legal first name is Zechariah, so that doesn't help.
Oh, God. Zechariah.
Zechariah Zimmerman.
Zechariah Zimmerman. That's so funny. Wow. You can really pull any card you want.
I know.
The Jew card, the gay card, the comic card,
it's
the
my
magician
magic trick.
Card.
the
what's it called?
My credit
the
card.
The Jerry Farwell the Jerry Farwell magic
Jerry
act card. Wow.
But I need to figure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I guess I don't know.
Not growing up there, you don't.
I could be Jewish. Not, I could convert one day. I appreciate the
There's
religion.
No need to.
Did you
There's
grow
no
up
if you didn't.
Super Christian? Yeah. My dad was an evangelical pastor.
Oh, my God.
I was putting that together from your name. I was like, wait a minute, Virginia and Zachariah. I was like, I'm getting strong Bible energy.
Oh, yeah. Big Bible belt. Yeah. But I've given that up. I converted to queer vegetarian atheist as well.
Queer vegetarian atheist.
Yeah, I feel like you're not going to like that I'm a vegetarian.
I love that you have a vegetarian.
Oh, okay.
Whatever, that was surprising. Whatever makes you happy.
Aww.
Except for car tricks. there's a few things I don't like. Car tricks and impressions.
Oh, I could do an impression. No.
Do you do impressions?
No, not really.
Good
Just
for
of
you.
Luke Babylon. He does
Just
an
Luke
impression.
Babylon.
That's a character. Big difference.
That's true.
What Big difference. Does your father say about your conversion to queer vegetarianist
eating. Not a huge fan, but we've learned to like navigate it, I think, well.
Wow,
now, like,
that's
decently.
Amazing.
I've got a I've wrote an essay about it in the book that I wrote about kind of dad, and I do some comedy about it too. Like, I fuck with him. I get him to like leave the family chat all the time with like, happy pride, are you going to the local pride parade? And he's like, marriage is between man and woman. And I'm like, well, I don't live my life based on a 2,000-year-old novel. And he leaves the chat
on a novel.
Yeah,
on a novel.
But I like fucking with them.
That's funny.
I just meet them where they are. I know they're loving me as much as they can, Aww. Given their like belief system. But I've also softened. I used to be a lot angrier towards Christianity and religion.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, whatever kind of gets you through the day. Well, life's pretty hard. As long as you're not a bigot or infringing on my rights, I think.
Yeah. So how did this inspire your magician character?
It's direct.
It gives you a lot of ammo.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Well, that was part of it. I was working on a cruise ship, and the magician on board's daughter, I would babysit her, and he would teach me tricks. So I was like, oh, I want to do these tricks.
So you're doing comedy on the cruise ship.
Yeah,
and then improv. So you picked up magic after comedy.
Picked up magic, and then I was like, I know all this stuff about the Bible because I grew up and believed it for 18 years. Let me like fold that in. So it's kind of a way of like honoring how I was raised while also making fun of it.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Did you watch VeggieTales?
Oh, yeah.
Just about to talk to tomatoes. Thank you.
Go ahead, guys. Go
if
hit it.
A squash can make you smile.
If you like to waltz with potatoes.
Up and down the produce aisle.
I'm not insane. It's a real thing. People
have
watch
we got
it.
A show for you.
Okay, I feel we had very similar childhoods.
You had five, yeah.
I feel, how many siblings do you have?
Three.
Okay.
How many do you have?
I have five sisters. So I was getting more also big family. I was getting big family and Bible energy from that side of the table. Which is
Wait, you didn't have, so the weird Christian songs you grew up with, there's regional ones too. Like you probably, did you have Quigley Village?
See, no.
I'm sorry, what?
Let them go out. Let them sing a little bit. Go ahead. Well, what denomination of like
Protestant, Southern Baptist? What's yours?
I grew up very Catholic. So
oh, wow.
Very
oh,
different.
We were raised that Catholics are Christians that are going to hell.
Yeah, exactly.
So oh,
are you guys not familiar with any of this?
No.
I thought this was common knowledge.
I promise you, we look at you as just goyim and just
no.
Stay away.
So his type of goyim thinks my type of goyim are going to hell, and we equally think that they are going to hell.
Are you guys serious?
I mean, me personally, no.
They worship Mary. They
That's
like worship saints.
They
have Mary, the mother of Jesus. The one didn't have.
I didn't know this was going to be theology.
Today. No, yes. This is good. This is
and
good.
And you,
good.
I was raised. You guys put Jesus on the cross in your churches. Our church.
We put him on the cross. Don't one thing is history has. We put him on the cross. Something else. Don't take that away from the Jews. One thing we didn't hear. Don't say they put him on the cross.
Wait, you don't.
In your,
I don't think I've heard this
in
one.
Your like
Hold
statues
on.
Or whatever, Jesus yeah. is still on your cross. Ours is just a cross because
oh,
our
we're
Jesus
all about
is
the
in
guilt.
Heaven.
We're like, we want you to see
yes.
it. We're a very visual iconography, which is mentioned in them and actually very in a very interesting way.
What?
In that thing we watched about Andy Warhol, the documentary.
Oh yeah,
and how the iconography, the pictures in his church. Were like very pop art.
We were watching this Andy Warhol documentary, and he's like looking at the abs that Jesus had.
It was not that. It was also the colors and stuff. And it was, yeah, his, it was very, and the church.
No, anyway. When you go to a church, you feel, you're like, that's the main thing. That's something very strange about, you know, not strange, but in Jewish religion, all you need is 10 men and a corner and you have a service. You guys have all of that. You know, he was smoke on and earth, mirrors. Smoke and mirrors, and not smoke and mirrors.
So listen, in some cases, literal smoke and mirrors.
Wafers, you guys like to eat those crackers?
Yeah.
Did you ever have one of those things?
Yeah, they're hot. They taste like cardboard.
Good. It's disgusting.
This body is all bat shit crazy.
Oh, yeah.
All 100%. Of it. From A to Z. Like, yeah.
Just let's just enjoy the two goyim having a good time with this. I like this.
I went to, I was in Salt Lake City for shows a few weeks ago, and I went to a Mormon temple.
I'm very familiar.
Done that. It was very,
very familiar.
I was like, this is kind of peaceful and calm. Mm. And then I picked up a piece of paper that was gender exists before you're born. Like, oh, yeah,
you
a man
posted
and a woman.
This on Twitter, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
I saw that.
And it the missionaries, crazy. Someone told me, the two women I talked to, later on I talked to some ex-Mormons, because the people that come to the comedy show are all ex-Mormons.
Right.
And they were like, yeah, they pick the prettiest girls to be missionaries in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, my best girlfriend was a Mormon missionary.
Oh, really?
And
wow.
She got fingered and then she had to go confess to the bishop. That's reasonable, right?
To the bishop who fingered her? Or,
well, okay. You know, I'm just. What do you think he did with that information?
Oh, no.
Look at Moody's face right now.
What a terrible cult.
Wow. I love the way this podcast is going today.
I'm sorry.
No. I did a show one time in Salt Lake City for a Jewish organization. And in the back, you saw that there were two Mormons sitting there. And they knew there was a Jewish comedy show happening in the town. And somebody had to keep an eye on them.
Spies.
I swear to God.
Mormon
I
swear. Spies.
There were two in the back with the whole, you just look at them and you just can tell in the room that that's happening. And what happened was one of them owns a company and brought me back for their appreciation show.
So you obviously did well.
I did very well, and very clean, didn't offend anybody. And it wasn't even that Jewish of a show, because it was Jews that live in Utah. So it was very blandy, but just funny. And they brought me back for a show. They got my number and they brought me back, and it was very nice.
Oh.
And it was a very nice experience.
Thank
with
you,
the
Mormons.
Thank you, Mormons, yes.
Well, do you know what the Mormons call anybody who's not a Mormon?
What?
Gentiles. So the Jews are Gentiles, according to the Mormons.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Jews call anybody that's not Jewish a goy. A goy. And it's not a bad thing.
No.
It's always, of
it's
course, how you say it.
The way you were saying earlier felt bad.
No. I was thinking about that the other day. Talk. If you say, if you're watching television, you see an athlete and he's puts he catches the ball in the air and throws it into the basket. It's like, wow, what a guy.
Both hands.
It's like a wow, you know, it's a guy. And, you know, it's like, you know, and then this guy paid how much for the property? What a guy. You know, it depends how you say it. It's very that. So you're performing at the Comedy Cellar. How long have you been there?
I got passed in June last year.
Amazing.
So it'll almost be a year soon. Very excited. And it's just life-changing.
It's life-changing.
Getting to do great shows with great audiences. And
fun
so
hangouts,
reps.
Too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The comics I've met you. It's been great. Yeah. Just I feel like a professional and a pro.
Last night we were there, and Periel was there, and Leo's sister was with us, and we were hanging out, and Alex Edelman came in, and Alex Edelman, who was on the podcast and has this amazing show called
Just For Us,
and it's so good to watch him, and you know, he's had everybody come to his show, from Jerry Seinfeld to Judd Apatow and to
Marissa Tomei,
everybody, and I said to him, you know what, if you want to impress me, I want to see Zelensky's show. That's what I want to see. That would impress me.
You had an interesting moment I saw at the Cellar, that I'm sure you've told this story a bunch of times by now, but of someone coming out to their friend during your crowd work.
Oh my God, yes.
What? Because that video went kind of viral, right?
Yeah, it was a small audience. It was like a Sunday, so it wasn't totally sold out, and so it was kind of intimate, and I was talking to people, and I asked if anybody was straight, and this one woman was like, yes, and I'm like, oh Lord. And so I talked to her for a little bit, and I'm like, who are you here with? And she's like, oh, I'm with my friend. I was like, hey, what's your name? Are you straight? And she goes, no. And her friend's like, yes, you are. And I'm like, oh my God. And so she comes out to her friend during my set, and I like helped
it turns
them
out they
navigate.
Hadn't like see each other for a while.
Yeah, she was like, I live in Seattle, and I was like, oh, we don't have the technology to communicate with people in Seattle. You couldn't have like told her. But I ended up like pimping her into, it's on my TikTok, pimping her into like supporting her friend and like giving her a big impassioned monologue.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And I got champagne just for the queer one, not the woman that I kind of bullied into being an ally.
Oh, that's
but it was such
nice.
A like special moment. What's weird is that like maybe there were like I don't remember how many people were there, just it's like it's a small room, but then you post the clip and that's like, oh, the whole world can see right, things yeah. that happened. It just like changes the dynamic of everything that yeah. like, oh, a million people could see what actually only like 50 people saw or something,
right.
So it's kind of but I yeah, it was unlike anything that's
and
ever
it's your choice
happened.
To do that, not the audience's choice.
Oh, right, to
that's
lean
what's
into
nice about
yeah like I could have been like shut up, I'm going to do my act. But I was like, oh, this is fascinating.
No,
like,
I mean,
let me
to
talk.
Post it. It was
oh,
your
got
choice,
it. Yes,
not
100%.
A choice of an audience member.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
Which is a big gift.
Or a thing I'm, well, maybe this is too much shop, but there's like a publisher, like an internet website that's posting like clips from shows. And I like kind of, how do you feel about people posting clips of your act or like one joke or something that...
Without permission?
Kind of.
It's hard. It's really, you know what? We always make the announcement, and the contract says nobody in the audience is allowed to be a videotaping. But I'm doing shows. I get up there and I just see people holding the phone for stuff. Sometimes they put the phone away and while I'm in the joke. I think my private events, not like the Comedy Cellar, obviously there's no phone.
Yeah.
And then I get home and I see that they put in the stories. They put horrible little bad clippings.
Oh, yeah.
Of it. They don't know
doesn't
how to
have
edit.
The setup
they're,
or the
like,
punchline
just put
or
up,
no
up
laughs.
Story.
Yeah.
We saw Modi tonight, and it's me going, and I, and it's like in the middle of the joke. It's like there's no punchline. There's no, like when Leo puts my stuff on, he edits every little thing and brings the sound up and the color, and it looks amazing.
Add a laugh
just
track,
like,
you know.
All you see here is, you hear, and his wife saying, could you pass the water in the middle of, and they're just posting it all over the place. And so I just like, you can't fight it. You can't fight
right,
it.
Right, right. That's
so,
true. Maybe I should just go with the flow.
Yeah.
No, I think you want to try to control it a little bit. Yeah. It's, you know, it's crazy.
Right. That's like the brand.
Totally.
It's the
brand.
But
it also
but
like ruins stuff that like you potentially could do on like late night or your special.
True. No. Yeah. No, I mean, but again, they're only putting little, and they have 12 followers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if it's somebody so we see that is like a person has like 100,000 followers putting up a little clip, is you ask them to take it down or
right,
something.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. What's happening with were you traveling? What's going on? Tell us a little bit more. Let the audience know who you are.
And tell us about your book,
so
too.
Goy, oh, my goodness. Atheist Vegetarian.
Goy, Atheist Vegetarian.
Does car tricks.
Comedian,
wrote a book.
Single. Wrote a book. Wrote a book during the pandemic when stand-up went away. I was like, okay, it's time to like write this book. So it's a collection of essays about my upbringing. I was raised straight vegetarian or straight meat-eating carnivore. Now I'm a queer vegetarian.
Cyst.
And now
cyst.
Not cyst.
Cyst
is like if you know what you have in like.
Could you not do a mammogram exam right
That's
here?
That's a cyst.
I have a benign cyst on my back.
Wait, if we're talking about this, do you know that? Do you ever fall into those holes where you're looking on YouTube when people pop their cysts?
No.
Oh my God. Hours and hours. Drunk people in the kitchen opening up their cysts with a kitchen knife.
Stop it.
Is
Stop.
One of my
okay,
favorite
back
things.
To your book that
a
you wrote in the
knife.
Pandemic.
Yes, my book. It's about cysts. No, it's about family, religion,
What's
love, dating, sex. The title is It Hot in Here or Am I Suffering for All Eternity for the Sins I Committed on Earth?
Did your dad come up with that title?
And my mom hates the title. The cover, which hasn't gone out yet, is like this skull with like its hair on fire. And it's like, is it hot in here? I'm obsessed that the publisher Chronicle Books like designed such a like bold cover.
That's
but you
awesome.
Liked it?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm excited.
That's good.
The original title was On Your Right, Fire and Brimstone. And then that was a little maybe too like, eh. So then we just went hard with like
it's great.
A different
How
one.
Exciting.
I know. It's a lot of work writing a book.
It sure
And then I guess promoting a book is very hard too. So we're already starting. It doesn't come out until November.
Written a book.
Ooh.
You've written two books.
Two books.
Yeah. It's
My bush is on fire.
No, the only bush I trust is my own and on my knees. But you're in a great, thank you. It's a great thing though that you're a comic. So like, it's fine. It's like, I think it's really hard for people who are just writers then suddenly they have to, you know, figure out how to do like all of these other things that like for it's easy because it's just like part of. And also now there are podcasts like when my first book came out, like there was not even social media.
Yeah, it's a whole different landscape.
Wow.
It's crazy
to think about. I'm jealous of that.
There was barely a printing press. They had the little copy.
And I still got into the New York Times.
No, we're very impressed by you. Very impressed by you. If I had to write a book, I think it would be called "Ugh."
That's a good title. How do you spell it? Oh, it's just...
No, I think the title of your book should be "And Here's Modi."
Oh, that's cute.
Would you ever write a book?
What?
Would you ever write a book?
I can barely read a book.
That's not true. You can read a book. And you've recommended several amazing books to me.
Okay.
Picture books?
The Talmud.
you could have someone ghostwrite it with you.
Yeah.
Like Modi with this other person.
Okay. Modi with Zimmerman.
Oh, I'll co-write your book.
Okay.
Hey, easy.
Oh, wait a minute.
So how long was did it take you like start to finish?
I feel like 2 years, honestly. Or like the June of the pandemic is when I like first started. Like I met with like an agent and then started working on a proposal. And then we sold it last June. And then it was mostly done. And then I just worked with the editor who like cut so much.
Yeah.
That's the most humbling thing. Like
it's rough.
The more I wrote, the shorter it got. And I was like, this is insane. Because
how many pages is it?
It's like 200.
It's a collection of different
Essays. Yeah, okay. It's like 20. There's like humor pieces, which are a little fictional.
I like things like that. It's easy. You don't have to keep remembering where everybody
100%.
Was.
100%. They're like bites. I think the longest essay is like 10 or 12 pages.
That's great.
And it jumps through time. It's like, it starts with Thanksgiving and my mom and me trying to like, make a salad and her like sabotaging that because she doesn't want we've never had a salad at Thanksgiving. And I'm like, we should have a salad, let's be a little healthy.
Because I'm sure it's just like an onslaught
carbs
like a turducken.
They don't eat salad on Thanksgiving
because they want to eat meat.
Here's something I promise you don't have at your Thanksgiving dinner.
What's that?
Hummus.
No, I would love some hummus.
We'll bring it to the Zimmerman.
Thank you. I literally never had a chickpea till college.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Or an avocado.
That's how goy he is.
That's how southern trash I was. It's just like nothing.
Is your avocado experience documented in the book?
No, but I fucking love avocados.
That sounds like it would be a core memory.
A core memory.
Your first avocado.
Guacamole.
Chickpeas are such a big part of the Jewish religion, too.
Just Israeli, not really Jews.
Oh, interesting.
More than you think. First of all, I love now she speaks for all of Jews. all the religion. No, do you know that? Here's an interesting fact. When a Jewish child is born, they have a thing called a Shalom Zachar. The first Sabbath of his life, you go to the house of where he's born and you eat a chickpea.
Wow.
Really?
So that's chickpeas.
A
single chickpea.
Why?
I forgot. But
that's
it's
poetic.
Anyway,
that's but camp. Honestly,
what is that? Why?
I'll look it up. I forgot why.
That is nuts. These things make me crazy. It is nuts.
If you're connecting to it spiritually, it's a very good thing.
There's a movie you might enjoy. Have you heard Everything Everywhere All at Once yet?
No, what is
that? Okay, it's just coming out like now. But like a bagel plays an important like religious role.
bagel?
Yeah.
A sentient bagel?
But it's really good. It's called Everything Everywhere All at Once. I think it's like just in New York and LA now. And it'll be everywhere in like a month or something.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, go. I think you'll like it.
I'm sure.
Wait, have your parents seen your comedy?
Mom, I have a story about my mom and she's obsessed with watching that on TikTok. And like she got recognized from it because she's a server at Red Lobster. And I tell a story about her.
But I love you.
She's a server at Red Lobster.
Yes, for like 4 decades now.
Hey, you're supposed to lead with that.
I lead with it. Sorry.
That should be the name of your title. My mom was a server at Red Lobster for 4 decades.
That was the... I wrote a piece about her in The New Yorker, and that was, I think, what helped, like, sell the... It's in the book, too. Because it's about... It's charming, and then it turns into, like, pandemic stuff, because me's trying to get her to not go back to work, and her wanting to go back to work, and all that kind of stuff. Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. So it's funny and dark and sad.
Like me.
It's so funny how I hear comedians like, and since comedy stopped during the pandemic... I never worked so hard during this pandemic. I talk about it on stage now. The Jewish community had no patience for the pandemic.
Really?
The Orthodox.
Orthodox Jewish community had no patience for in New York. I was doing shows in backyards, in basements, in all kinds of social distance, 800 people in a backyard, and half the backyard was a pool. And it was, yeah, it's funny how like you hear all these stories. Now that you think about it, you know, we're 2 years after. I'm just thinking, I was so lucky.
Oh, yeah.
Between the Zoom shows and just live shows. I'm lucky I never got the COVID, but I'm lucky I had shows.
Oh, I got COVID twice.
Me too.
Yeah. Lucky dog.
They're immune. I was in here at like the height of my COVID coughing. And they didn't get it.
Wow. Oh,
her stupid masks. She came in with her dumb masks just to annoy us. And she got it. You got it because you wore the mask.
Now I'm an anti-masker. Now I'm an anti-masker. Oh, my God.
Dude, you get along with my mom. Like,
God doesn't want you to wear a mask.
Did you have to convince your mom, or is this too personal, about how is the vaccination topic handled in your
household? She is not vaccinated.
Of course not.
And the show, the hour last night, at the it ends with a PowerPoint called How to Vaccinate Your Mom. And it's like text messages, the like 10 different strategies I've tried, from bribing her to like withholding my love. I haven't visited since. I mean, we still stay in touch, but
wow.
She ends up getting COVID and she's better, but like she'll never get vaccinated, which is very frustrating.
Your mom's the same way.
Yeah, I don't think my parents aren't vaccinated.
What part of the country are they?
They live in Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And my parents are deep in their late past 60s, and I was like almost embarrassed that I was vaccinated before them. I took care of them right away. My mom found the situation and she went right in there, but like we hooked up some Jewish situation. We got the vaccine before them.
You had it in March 2020 somehow.
I think that was honestly key to us. We just got it so early, the vaccine.
Haven't you guys had like 4 vaccines?
I'm like addicted.
You're addicted to vaccines, but okay.
Love. Interesting. Love.
But now that we're vaccinated,
I wasn't.
Oh, I see.
I wore the mask when it was the thing, but it's over.
Right.
Let it go.
It's not over.
Let's let it go.
I'm
sitting on a plane. And everybody's wearing the mask, and the waitress is coming over. I need you to hand it to standing above your nose, right? And then the food comes, and everybody's masks comes down. Right, really?
Right. They're about to lift it.
They're supposed to.
But I do think whenever I go into a 7-Eleven, I'm like, I can't imagine a time when I didn't wear a mask. Like, how is that ever okay?
Yes,
we should always wear masks.
I will tell you one thing. I love my barber, Zach. My barber. He cuts my hair.
Name.
Zaharia? He's Zaharia, yes, for sure. And I don't mind him wearing a mask if he's wearing it after he had lunch. Grepsing his onions all over me. We're over it.
My barber has an Instagram account and he's never put me on it. And so I was like, why haven't you put me on your Instagram account?
Barber keeps begging me to put it. He's like, hey, let's do the thing where you're holding a pickle from the pickle guy. And I'm like, I'm not holding it. And he's like, and pull it out of the apron. I go, I'm not pulling a pickle out of the apron. Do you hear yourself?
And to promote him?
To promote, He's he has like 12 followers or something. He's so cute. And during the pandemic, he came to the house and did our hair.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, it was really good. We have a good guy, Zach.
He can email me if he wants to advertise on the podcast.
Grand Cutters on Grand Street in Clinton.
Hello. That is a paid advertisement.
No, he's a good guy.
I want to hear more about your mom.
Yeah.
Oh, Patty. Yeah. She's fascinating.
Patty.
Yeah.
The best. Yeah. That name is amazing.
She's a firecracker. She fucks with her tables. She makes sure that you tip.
How does she, what's her tricks of tipping?
Oh, she'll like joke like for tourists, like, oh, standard tipping's 50%. Just like little jokes. Or if someone doesn't tip, she's like, was your service okay? And they're like, yeah, okay, well, the tip's right there. And I'm like, wow. But she's very bold.
Good for her.
And she talks to people. She'll text me. Last night she said she had a couple, like two 91-year-olds who just got engaged. And she and she joked that she'd be their flower girl. So she like talks to every table.
That's so sweet.
I know.
And so despite the fact that you're a queer vegetarian
He
atheist,
didn't say queer. He never said queer.
Yeah, he did.
You said queer?
Yeah.
He led with queer.
I thought, okay, I'm sorry.
Or gay or whatever.
I thought there was differences.
Oh, there can be.
I'm always learning the right way to say things.
I like queer. I mean, for me, they're interchangeable, but not for everybody. I have like some deviance from the like gay. So queer is sometimes good.
Okay.
I'll hook up with lots of people. Identify as slut.
My pronouns are slut.
Yeah.
But she
don't let Ben Shapiro hear
but you
that.
Oh my god. Yeah. But you don't identify as mask.
I can spelled be mask
not
sometimes.
M-A-S-K.
And femmes. Sometimes I paint my nails. I'm growing my hair out, which feels like gets in touch with some more femme parts of me. Mm-hmm. But I do bench press things.
Yeah, bench press.
What kinds of things?
Like plates, like a 45-pound plate.
Which brings us to a topic that has been happening. So Leo and I, we work out together at Equinox. Aww. And, you know, I'm old school. I've been working out since, you know, the 80s and all that. And people come out, yo, let me get a spot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and can I work in with you?
Hate it.
Leo falls
Thank
apart.
You.
He falls. I watched him. I've watched him. Some guy comes over to Leo, this guy, like a tall guy at the gym, good looking guy.
A giant man.
Yeah. And he goes to, and Leo's looking, no, Leo's buffed out doing this thing. And
no, but I'm not the
Leo,
size of this person.
He goes to Leo and goes, hey, let me get a spot. And I'm watching. And keep in mind, I have Avram Fried singing in my ear. I have Jewish music. I'm like, Venushan. I'm in my ear. I'm watching Leo. And this guy come over to Leo. I'm like, what could he be asking Leo? And the guy, and Leo just goes, No, I don't do that. I don't spot people. I don't spot people.
I'll tell you why. Because one time I did out of like guilt. And then the guy like almost dropped it. So I tried to help him. And then he said I tried to help him wrong. Like I should have done it over and not under. Or however I did, I panicked. I don't know if I did it right. So I was like, first of all, why'd you ask me to do this? I don't know. I told you I don't know how to do this. So, and then I just made a rule for myself. I'm like, you know what? It's not my job to spot you at the gym. That's my new rule.
I love that.
Like, I didn't come here to like help you work out. I'm sorry. There's like, the gym is like not crowded and there's like 1,000 other things you could be doing.
Yeah. Right. And they're like going far enough. I don't know. Know your limits. Like
boundaries.
Yeah.
Boundaries. I like that.
I have no problem. Come in. Work in with
you. You want to be like, where'd you go to yeshiva?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm like, you know, yeah. No, put your thumb in. You're holding it wrong. You're holding it wrong.
I was using the bench press thing. It was like, can I work in? And then he took all the weights off and put his weights on. And I'm like, just let me finish. Yeah. I'll be done eventually.
Yeah. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk.
Thank you.
I don't want you to talk to me. Yes, I don't want to talk to you.
It's very private space. I'll suck your dick in the steam room, but let's not speak. No, I'm not that big of a slut.
Oh my God. Wow. Thank God this is airing. This is going to be airing in the middle of Passover. Right. Yeah. Okay. So happy Easter.
Passover.
No, I'm old school. I'll be happy to help you if you need a. Don't work in if it's things you have to change the weights.
Yeah, that's
annoying.
That's a good rule. They should start from there.
Right.
But even then, for me personally, no thank you.
Because it's like you're, I don't know.
You don't mind like chatting with people, like chit-chat?
First of all, there's no chatting anymore because everybody's got ear pods in their ears. Back in the day, used to have like just if you had the Walkman, but it was too big of a thing to carry. So you just worked out and you could speak to the guy. It was a nice, or the girl, and you'd have a nice time
inclusive.
The Walkman is amazing.
The Walkman, I said that horrible Walkman.
I do think earphones are hurting us. Like, we don't connect as a community with people in real life anymore. You're like listening, you're in your own music video walking down the street instead of like hearing the cries of someone next to you, like help or something. Like,
if I don't think anybody should, even though I have been, when I do go to the gym, I take 2 hits of weed before I walk in.
Really?
It makes a big difference to me. It elevates my workout into another level. Not a lot.
Because you're like feeling
it's exactly the muscles enough tearing weed. Or... Yes, you feel it. You get you really enjoy it. And so if there's still a little bit of a buzz left over, I'll walk with the earphones, with the ear pods in my ear on the way home. But otherwise, I think it's so dangerous to walk in New York City with your ear pods
in. Oh, sure.
It's so dangerous.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
Oh, I didn't know that. I always do it.
Maybe it's dangerous.
Okay. You just saved my life.
Yeah, because sometimes somebody who's, I don't say homeless, but somebody who's
mentally. The one time I got attacked, I was wearing my ear pods.
Oh, yeah,
and then I was like, I never do that.
Off.
I was like on a call.
Yeah, you have to be aware walking down the streets in the city.
You have to hear things that are happening. You have to, right. Yeah.
I got whacked. I was in Times Square in between
shows. What are you, Tony Soprano?
I got whacked.
with a semolina loaf.
Kids were running. I assume they'd stolen something. It was like in Times Square with just like speed they were running. And then one of them, I was standing there watching them move by. And they threw, it was like a metal mug, like a tourist thing, just right at my fucking face.
That's horrible.
Yeah. I was like, whoa. I didn't like break anything. And it could have been much worse. But I was just like, oh, now I need to like be a little more aware of my surroundings.
Yeah.
I didn't tell my mom because she's like, well, that's New York. I'm like, oh, God.
But can we have Patty on the podcast?
Ah! If she gets vaccinated.
Zoom her in. I am worried. I tell my friends, I was like, will we ever be funnier than our moms? Like, they're just like the fully baked versions of us.
My dad and my mom are.
Your mom makes me laugh all the time.
Can we start with having your mom?
We should get my parents here. My mom and dad have zero editing skills. There's between their thought and their what comes out of their mouth, there is nothing. I have zero, but I have like 0.1. There's a little something that filters it. And especially if Leo's standing next to me.
Right, I was going to say, you have Leo.
There's a lot.
Don't act like I'm muzzling you.
No, but you'll see me before I say something like, and that person and you go, yes, Modi? Say it correctly. And but my mom and dad have not. I never saw Leo laugh so hard. We were it was Passover. My mom cooked and was serving. And Leo turns to the table and goes, does anybody want soup? And my mom goes, don't ask if they want soup. Just give them soup. And Leo was like, okay, I didn't know that. Another life lesson. Just serve soup. Don't ask if they want soup.
I've applied it to my life since then.
Yeah. That's hysterical. Yeah.
Hysterical. It's
everyone ends up eating it.
We become our parents, and I always say, become your parents, but the good of your parents. Learn from your parents the good stuff, and then see what the bad stuff is and don't do it. That's what it is. My father, since the day I can remember, has exercised every single day of his life. Had never not exercised. Even when he worked, like from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., he always found time to exercise and organize. He always had a place for his – I will tell you one of the funniest things I remember in my childhood. My mom redid the kitchen. And my father has a place. He comes home. Back then, you had those little machines that kept all the phone numbers in it. I forgot the name of it.
They're like 505.
A Rolodex.
No, help me. It's it had the pen, and you found the names of the people. It was like a separate part of your phone. It wasn't your phone.
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember what.
So
it's
he
called.
Had that. He had that. It was before you had a phone. So it was that, and
this
he had
like
a little
ancient technology. I'm trying to wrap my head around.
He had his keys and his wallet, and there was a spot in the kitchen. That's where they went to when he arrived in the house.
Smart.
That's the only part of the house that was his. My mom bought this paper and pen thing to write a phone number down if somebody's on the phone with you, and she decides that's where it's going. So he moves it over and puts his stuff there again. He comes back the next day. And he always somehow arrived right when we were about to sit to eat. And he puts it there again. And he moved it. Again, that by Wednesday, he took this thing and flung it across the room, smashed it across, it smashed against the wall, the pen broke, the plastic, paper everywhere. And I just remember
that's
that.
That's amazing.
He, so the always have a, everything should have its place. This way you never need to look for things.
That's,
it's,
is that a Jewish thing? Because no, I grew up with
not.
That too.
It's his thing. And so that's one of the great lessons of my father is exercise and always have, everything should have its place so you know where it is. You don't have to start looking for things. And it's, and then, the, I mean, the, there's obviously things that.
Zach looks exhausted by that story.
I need to do that. I lose my keys every time I'm in the work? Studio and I lose everything.
Does it not work?
No, it's definitely
Can I tell you something? Life changing.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
There are these magnet key hooks. Just put it on the back of your door and you put your keys there when you walk
and
in.
Always there.
You're done.
But I, what if I like, you know, hiding them in bowl. 17 different coats and searching in my pants for them? That's so much fun every morning. No, I should buy that.
Yeah.
Or an Hermes bowl.
Yes, an Hermes bowl. But there's things that my father, I take on that.
What's your father's name?
Betzalel, Saul. Everybody calls him Saul. Parking. I have become my father with parking.
Oh,
if I find a good parking spot, I will
forever.
Stand at this. I will scream to people, I'm here. I'm good till tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Look at this. I couldn't believe it.
Congratulations,
sir. We were invited to a dinner in Queens, and we went there, and I forgot it's Queens. I would have definitely – I Uber everywhere. I never take my car if it's in the city. I take my car generally for road gigs and stuff, and I drove – to Queens, to like the area where there's no parking whatsoever. Oh. And I found a spot in front of the restaurant. And I was the only thing I was telling, I walked into the party, listen to where I park. Let me show you, come here, come to the door. You see, I'm right there, can you believe it? I'm there, I'm good. I could leave the car there till tomorrow morning. That's my father, that's my father.
In Chicago, in winter months, they'll put like chairs to claim their parking spots.
Really?
Yeah, like overnight.
Oh, wow.
It's like calling dibs or something.
Okay.
I just took my first Lyft the other night in the city. Well, I take Lyft sometimes, but my work-related shift. Usually when I leave the cellar, I'll take the train home. I'm in Park Slope. It's like a half hour.
Okay.
And I was just like, you know what? Tonight at 2 a.m., I'm going to take a Lyft home because these trains are full of people that are a lot of stimuli. So yeah. I'm going to treat myself.
Good for you.
But that feels like a life shift maybe. Now I
good
just need to make
you.
Enough money to sustain that. But.
It's
you will.
You will. You will. You will. Make that decision. Make that decision.
Because I just got back from L.A. and I was like, this is a lot. New York is a lot compared. Like
a lot
cold,
what, of money or?
A lot of cold and a lot of like you're surrendering yourself to the city. Whereas
yeah,
like
your fight or flight response is
yes,
like constantly
like I could be
engaged.
In a train car with someone smoking meth or yeah. like – about to like get in my face versus like being in a car or a Lyft somewhere, being driven somewhere.
You know that never bothered me until I met Leo. That oh. never, it never, I lived in this city since 1993 or two. And it never, the cold never bothered me. The Meshuggah
never bothered
me. The cold never
bothered me anyway.
And then sorry. Leo goes, this is not good. This isn't healthy. And we spent January in Florida. I go, oh, this is very nice. This is very nice.
When did you get? Did you get to, nice. Was the cold your first cold when you moved to New York?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I grew up in South Florida.
Oh, gotcha,
and then
gotcha.
We moved to Georgia, but so always in the South. So. Yeah, the first winter here, there was like a bomb cyclone, like one of those crazy snowstorms.
I will show you the picture of Leo in this.
It's the snow was a big adjustment
this
for
me.
This
is not healthy.
Yeah, it's not healthy. So in the dead of January, it's not
I never, it never affected my brain. I always, cellar, comedy shows, fly,
yeah.
come back.
You were never gym. Outside.
I was always, no, I always walked to the gym. I always walked to wherever we're going. I used to always live near the cellar and I used to always walk to the cellar. Mm-hmm. So it was never, but then I realized that Florida is where you need to be for January and February probably soon too. But anyway, I had so much fun with you on the, not where I thought this was going to go.
Where did you want to go?
I didn't do my research on you.
Oh,
I just said
fine.
It's a comic who's at the cellar, which
oh,
means
okay.
this. And I don't. I'm not hanging there that much. That I know all the new young comedians, but I meet you guys on my podcast.
I'll say young again.
And,
thank you.
And
more,
I was ready. Another Jew from God knows where. Let's hear his story. And here we go. We got a queer, cis, gay, vegetarian, vegan, Mormon, not Mormon, evangelical, card playing, book writing.
Wait, you have a question for him?
I have a question.
You could be my publicist. Wait, what's the question?
This is a question I always forget to ask
him. Not as big as it could be.
No, but the buildup now has killed it. I always ask people, who's your rabbi? Like, again, who's your mentor? Who's your guru? Who would you go if you had a personal life question that you needed to ask? Who would you go to?
What a great question. Like a star?
A guru more, but not a star. Not a celebrity. It could be a person you'd go.
Oh, my best friend, Halcyon.
Halcyon?
Halcyon.
Wow, what a name.
Yeah. A name. If someone came in here with a gun right now, spell Halcyon or I'm blowing your brains.
Halcyon means like storm. What is Halcyon?
It's like peace and tranquility on the waters, or like the Halcyon days of the past, or like the good old days.
Oh, yeah. I
quit. Halcyon sounds like, hi, before your plastic surgery, we're going to give you some Halcyon. And this way you won't feel anything when we rip your eyebrows off of your...
So you go to Halcyon for advice?
Halcyon. We were freshman year. We shared a dorm, or like a wall between our dorms. And we clashed a little, but then we hit it off. And we've been friends ever since. She's very my like longest term friendship.
Oh,
but she lives in New York. We moved to Chicago together. Then she moved to New York and I followed her. Now she's out in the Rockaways. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love her to pieces and we get each other and she always gives great advice. There was only one time, she's always so supportive of every creative idea I have. Mm-hmm. She's like, this is amazing. What do you think of this? And then once I was like, I've written a song. Because I had just gotten dumped and I wrote some lyrics to a song. And so I sent her a little voice memo and she didn't respond. And then the next day I was like, did you hear the song? She's like, yeah, cool. I was like, oh, okay. Maybe I shouldn't be a songwriter.
So that's it. And you took
that
her advice.
That was the one
that's
note. She's
your rabbi.
My rabbi. She keeps it real with me.
Very, very nice. It's such a pleasure having you on. Tell us where can my audience find you?
I'm on, if you're on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok, my handle's @ZZZZ. That's ZZ, the word double, and then ZZ, which is not a very easy thing to say. And then my website, Zach-Zimmerman.com. And the book will be out November 1st, but you can pre-order it now. But don't, I'm not promoting that yet.
Oh, I want to pre-order it.
But if you Google it, yeah.
I'm excited.
It's on Barnes & Noble or a local bookstore.
I can't wait to see it.
Thank you. If you'll have me back.
Oh my God. We had a book. We had an author on. We had Dan Natterman who unpromoted his book. Don't buy it. You might not enjoy it. So if you want, get a copy. If you don't, I'll still make a living. And you're the opposite. This book is amazing.
Good.
Yeah, very good. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm on Instagram, Modi_live and modilive.com for all shows coming up. Please join. And of course, we love all of your feedback. And we want to thank wheelchair.com again for sponsoring the episode. And Leo, you can reach Leo at
info@modilive.com.
Or his Instagram, too. What's your Instagram? Leo_Vega? Leo_
I mean, they'll find me.
Did you hit that vape CBD pen today?
Oh, I had 100 milligrams of that Rice Krispie treat before we walked in.
Did you not see?
I could see right away.
From where? From
remember that Rice Krispie treat I bought at that store that sells that CBD by the orchard?
Why are you eating a crispy?
I know why. He has his sisters. It was in town.
Was I being like a weirdo?
No, I like it. No, I like it.
No, the whole show, I'm looking at him. He's like this.
I knew right away.
I did too. I was like, he has to be stoned.
I knew Leo was
because I'm
lit.
Usually so high strung.
Yes, you are. Okay. So
reveal.
Very good. Very good. Rice Krispie all the way. Did you make a bracha? Okay.
thank you guys for tuning in.
Yes.
Shoin.
And your thing is
I'm Periel. You can just find me. You know, it's I can't do all the work over here. Periel Ashenbrand.
I really I had a great time. Thank you very, very much, everybody. This is airing in the middle of Pesach, Passover. I hope you're having a meaningful Passover. My prayerful wishes that all of you are just loving your families and life. Thank
and
you.
And a great Easter.
Yes.
He is risen.
Yeah, no
he
one's,
is risen.
No one's Eastering on this risen. He is risen, yes.